This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding down for the next 3 hours as we've got ourselves some good quality baseball that is going to be coming up. We've got 10 games in total that are going to be happening on Thursday. We've got some baseball to wrap up on this Wednesday as we had 18 games go down, and we still have quite a few in progress. So that's always what we like to see. So we'll be taking a look at the sport out there on the diamond here all throughout the night. Additionally, we saw a man that stands 7 feet tall go to the Los Angeles Lakers. So we're going to be talking about that and so much more. And in 30 minutes, we're going to really be diving in on the Thursday baseball slate. Tanner Kern, he does great work over at DraftKings. He's going to be joining me. We're going to be taking a look at some of the best that he's got. And then we're going to be taking a look at some golf a little bit later on as well. One of my favorites, the John Deere Classic out there in the Quad Cities in the lovely Midwest. He's going to be breaking that down. Wes Reynolds is, as he does such amazing work here at the network on the golf front. I know that he always has thoughts with a little bit of everything. Like, Wes Reynolds is a man that he could talk about pretty much every sport at any time. So we're going to have him aboard. That'll be in about 2 or so hours. So we've got a lot there, and we had a lot that happened in the NBA here over the last 24 hours as the Knicks finally have a coach. I don't know how it took them this long to be able to find a coach. Typically, when you can a coach, you have a plan in place. And it's very clear that the New York Knicks might not have had a plan in place, but they hire on Mike Brown. Mike Brown has dealt with egos in the past. He's dealt with teams with high expectations, so that's a good thing. The bad thing is it took the New York Knicks like 6 tries to be able to get Mike Brown, and Mike Brown, not necessarily a guy that I view as like a super duper upgrade over Tom Thibodeau or something like that. Now, I do view Tom Thibodeau in this way, in terms of the NBA terms, for those that love baseball, as that's right now the main sport that is in town. It's sort of like the Buck Showalter effect. Like every single time Buck Showalter is the new manager of a team, he always upgrades the team, but they can never quite bust through. That's always been Tom Thibodeau in the NBA. Every single team he goes to, if they won like 30 games the previous year, 32 games the previous year, you know that they're going to get better. But you just feel like they weren't able to bust through, be able to win the title. And I think that it's fair that the Knicks look themselves in the mirror, taking a look at the East right now and how wide open it is. And they figured, hey, you know what? We might need to get a little bit of a better coach. Now, in terms of the odds, it didn't change them at all. And I do feel like even though the coach in the NBA is not necessarily the world's biggest deal, it sounds like the Knicks should be going from like plus 850, which is where they are right now, to win the title over at DraftKings. So like plus $7, or if it was the wrong hire, they should go from like plus 850 to below the Lakers at 15-1 or anything like that. I still think that it's something. Like, something, I think, is the best word to be able to utilize for it. Because, I mean, it is a case where, yeah, I take a look at Mike Brown and they might not win as many games during the regular season. Might they be a little bit more fresh towards postseason? Yes. I don't necessarily know if I put him in the same regard as Tom Thibodeau. There might be some out there that view him as an upgrade. There might be some out there that view him as a downgrade. I always thought that Brown did a solid coaching job wherever he went. So there was that, and the Knicks saga, that is finally done. But now things get very interesting for the Lakers, who are now at 15-1 to be able to win the title. They've got the same odds as the Warriors right now to be able to, or they have the just shorter odds of the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets to be able to win the title, as DeAndre Ayton, who he was bought out by the Portland Trailblazers earlier in the week. You figured might be a little bit of a connection here after you did see LeBron James go out there on social media saying, are we really building for this year? He was going to opt in to his player deal, but he wanted to see what the team did in the offseason. I have to think that King James is a little bit pleased by this, because we saw them during the playoffs throwing out their guys like Jericho Sims and company down low. It got so bad that they signed Alex Len, and if you're serious about your NBA team, I'm sorry to Alex Len and his family, but you probably don't want Alex Len on your roster. But they signed DeAndre Ayton, and I think he's going to be a rock solid player. Has he been the guy that we were expecting when he was the number one overall pick coming out of Arizona. Fair to say no. But this guy is a consistent double-double machine. It's a clear upgrade from what they had this previous year. It addresses a need. And, I mean, if you were to pick right now between Mark Williams, who they certainly wanted because they traded for him, but the trade fell through. If you were to pick between Mark Williams or DeAndre Ayton, who do you feel a little bit better about? I would say Ayton, just because you know that he's going to be, I'll say, a little bit healthier as well. Because the problem with Mark Williams is you just never know when that guy is going to get hurt, as he was eventually traded to the Phoenix Suns. But I do think that this is solid for the LA Lakers. And for the Lakers, it does become a question of, are they going to be able to make any more moves here in the offseason, as they did a nice job of being able to add some shooting over the last, we're going to call it 12 or so months. They, in my opinion, lucked into Dalton Knecht with regards to the NBA draft. So that was obviously an upgrade in a very awkward situation when you get traded for Mark Williams and then, well, the trade doesn't fall through. So I thought that that was absolutely hilarious, but I do think that for this LA Lakers team, they're doing a good job of being able to build around LeBron James, and I do think that this is going to appease the King. The problem is, it's just such a brutal West that it's not even funny, and with the Western Conference, they're still number 5 in terms of being able to win the title. The Thunder, clear favorites at plus 155. Then you've got the Rockets at plus 450, adding in their Kevin Durant, plus 650 on the Nuggets, and again, that's the team that I think has the most value. When you've got the number one player on the face of planet Earth in Nikola Jokic, that's something that speaks to me. And then the Timberwolves at plus $8, and I mean, when you consider that, if you look at the odds board, that means that the Warriors, you'd figure, would be the sixth seed at 12-1 to be the Clippers and the Mavericks at number 7 and number 8. That just shows you how brutal this conference is. So I'm very intrigued as to what's going to be happening over there, and I'm very intrigued to see what you're going to be getting moving forward, as it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Eubes Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And what else is intriguing is the upcoming NFL season. Greg's NFL Random Roulette is going to be back on tonight, number 8 of 16, and we're going to be taking a look at two teams a little bit later on, but you're able to take a look at all 32 teams with the NFL betting guide that is out right now. It has been just absolutely tremendous to be reading through this over the last 24 or so hours. So many folks here at the network did a great job. I had some contributions to it. I put in there a few plays, and I have my projected NFL playoffs, all 7 teams in the AFC and the NFC that I think are going to be making it. You get that from so many of our VSiN show hosts and guests. You get season win total breakdowns, best bets from all of our trusted VSiN experts. You get player props, betting projections, and so much more. And you want to lock in our NFL special. It is for just $175. Gives you access to everything that we do all through the Super Bowl, including every single betting guide. And that covers every single sport. It's not just for football. You get baseball, you get college basketball, hockey, you name it, you get it. And you get daily best bet emails, 24/7 video access, all the data and tools up on VSiN.com. The early bird pricing, though, that expires July 31st. So don't want to wait. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. As it is, Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we do dive in on what we're seeing in Major League Baseball right now? Because, like I mentioned before, we've got 18 games that were on the docket for today. And right now, you've got a few that are wrapping up. I gave this one out when I was on with Matt Brown, along with Mark Belusis on VSiN Prime Time. And right now, we're looking pretty good. I took the under in the Astros versus Rockies game, 5-2 in the top of the ninth inning. Now, we know that in Coors Field, your under is never safe because, well, it's Coors Field, but Hunter Brown right now delivering for this team. And I said it on the show yesterday. I will say it once again. Plus $6, Hunter Brown to be able to win the American League Cy Young. I know that everyone loves Tarik Skubal. Tarik Skubal should be the favorite right now. Hunter Brown is having an absolutely magnificent season. I mean, he does it once again here. I mean, 2 runs given up in 6 innings, 8 strikeouts at Coors. That's a pretty stinking good start right there. And for Hunter Brown, he has now given up a combined 7 runs over the course of his last 6 starts. Yes, he doesn't quite have the complete games of Tarik Skubal. He doesn't have as much of those, and I air quotes here, signature moments, but I mean, for Hunter Brown right now, he's got a .182 ERA. He's getting well over 10 strikeouts per 9 innings. His walks are a little bit higher than Tarik Skubal. Absolutely. But I mean, to be able to get a pitcher like this at plus $6, like he was coming into the night, I think that that's relatively solid value. I really like what I've seen out of Hunter Brown. Where would the Houston Astros be without him? Probably still leading the American League West, but they're certainly not 51-34 like they are right now. He's been able to really elevate this team. I have been so impressed by him. So another good start there. And hey, Austin Gomber did not get Gombered up for the Colorado Rockies, who runs a lot in five innings. So he was able to do his part if this under does indeed come through. This has been one of your best under teams in all of baseball, because with the Kansas City Royals dead stinking last in terms of offense coming into the night, right now leading by a count of 1-0 over the Seattle Mariners. That's in the bottom of the fifth inning for the Royals, entered in the night averaging 3.3 runs per game. Like, if this team had any semblance of hitting whatsoever, this would be a team that would be looking very powerful right now. So that's going to be an interesting one to be able to gauge. Noah Cameron, who has been really good for the Kansas City Royals, by the way, a little bit of a young gun pitcher making his 10th career start. He has allowed 2 earned runs or fewer in all but 2 of his starts. Right now, he is stealing some. I have to give some credit where it is due. And one thing that we're noticing in baseball right now, and this is going to be hit upon throughout the night, teams are getting hot and cold. It's the old Katy Perry song. And for the Giants, they have certainly been cold. And if you're in and you're out, they have certainly been out. Man, they have lost 7 out of their last 8 games. But they're leading right now by a count of 3-2 over the Arizona Diamondbacks for the San Francisco Giants. I do think that this is a team that's going to be able to find it sooner rather than later. It's really been all about the offense, ironically enough. You trade for Rafael Devers, but they have not been able to get a ton of offense ever since he's gotten there. His on-base percentage, his overall power has been slipping, which you figured he wasn't going to be the same hitter with the San Francisco Giants as he was in Boston, because Boston, very much a hitterish ballpark, to say the least. But for the Giants, right now up by a count of 3-2. And this is one thing to keep note of with the San Francisco Giants. Number one team in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. And these are some critical games for the Arizona Diamondbacks. They lost Corbin Burns for the entirety of the season. They have to decide here in the next few weeks, as the trade deadline comes up at the end of the month, do they want to go for it? Do they want to sell? Because if they decide to sell, there's a lot of pieces on that roster that teams are going to be very much wanting. I know that I was speaking on the show last week with Bob Nightingale. He's a team for them to watch. And what else we want to be watching for is what is happening in Los Angeles with Clayton Kershaw trying to go for a strikeout record. We'll talk about that next. Right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. We're back here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight. And we do have to give a little bit of credit to our wonderful producer, Jared. He fed me a line that I think is just absolutely fitting on this night, because I was talking about it going into break. We are going to be taking a look at Clayton Kershaw, him going for strikeout number 3,000. And you throw out this line: Clayton Kershaw is just like his favorite pair of jeans, washed. Yeah, it's not looking great for Kershaw, though. I will say, going into the night, Clayton Kershaw was looking pretty solid. He was having himself some nice starts, and, well, the night, not necessarily so great. 4 runs allowed in 4 innings to the Chicago White Sox, including a home run given up to Austin Slater. 3rd home run of the campaign, currently for the LA Dodgers there, trailing by a count of 4-2. This despite that they've had a pair of home runs. Andy Paz, 17th home run season, and the bad puns continue with Will Smith getting jiggy with it. 11th home run of the campaign. That is one of my favorites for the White Sox. They did go with the opener of Brandon Isert, who gave up a run in an inning, and Sean Burke has a lot of solo home run himself. So we'll be deciphering what we all get there. And this one I thought was a very fun and interesting game. The Chicago Cubs, they do get the job done 5-4. I personally was sweating out a run line in this spot for the Chicago Cubs. Very nearly got there, but you did have Daniel Palencia give up an unearned run. That was a little bit brutal with regards to the error out there. But so the Cubs, they get a nice solid win as they do go 3-14 with men in scoring position. And for the Cleveland Guardians, really falling out of that American League playoff race. And we know this with the Cleveland Guardians as well. A team has been very stingy to spend in past years. Like, if this were a different team like the Texas Rangers, I do feel like they might be so willing to go for it at the trade deadline, but you have to wonder where this Cleveland Guardians team is at moving forward. Tanner Bibee gives up 5 runs over the course of 4 innings. To the credit of a bullpen that has been not as great as they have been in past years, pretty rock solid performance from them. 4 scoreless innings, but for the Cleveland Guardians, certainly has been a little bit of an issue for them thus far this season. And Shota Imanaga did have himself a rough go of it, giving up 3 solo home runs in the first 3 innings, but he was able to rebound in. For this Cubs team, 27-15 at home thus far this season. And I do think that the landscape of the National League, you do have to look at the Dodgers as being creme de la creme. But if you're looking for that biggest challenger right now, I certainly put the Chicago Cubs with that regard. So Cubs do polish that one up. They are able to get the job done. And also a team that is looking to get the job done right now is the Seattle Mariners. So they had the bases loaded. They were unable to come up with any runs with the bases loaded, so that is currently a 1-0 game. That one is in the top of the 6th inning, and just a lot of intrigue in terms of these double dips and what we saw on Wednesday. As if you were taking a look at just blindly betting on the team that lost in game number 2 of the doubleheader after they lost in game 1, you're able to do very well for yourself. We had 3 doubleheaders. The team that won game number 1 then lost game number 2. Saw that with the Milwaukee Brewers getting the job done by a count of 7-2 over the Mets in game 1. And then the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski. Well, it was more like a miss. 7-3, the Mets were able to get to him for 5 runs in under 4 innings. So that was rough for the Brewers. For the Washington Nationals, they lose by a count of 11-2 in game number 1 of their double dip against the Tigers. They then pound them by a count of 9-4 in game number 2. And then for the Philadelphia Phillies, they drop game number 1 to the San Diego Padres 6-4, and then they get the job done by a count of 5-1. And I always do think that it is interesting to take a look at some of these like yo-yos with regards to these doubleheaders. And obviously it's situation by situation. It's a little bit different when you're playing a doubleheader against the Colorado Rockies, for example, rather than if you're playing against the LA Dodgers. Like, I do think that it needs to be a situation where it's not like, oh, I'm just going to blindly bet the team that lost in game number 1 to win in game number 2. Because, well, if the Colorado Rockies lost to the LA Dodgers in game number 1 of a doubleheader, do you really want to take a shot on the Colorado Rockies? I don't think so. Maybe there's someone that thinks differently than I do, but probably not in that sort of an ordeal. But I do think that there is something to the fact that we saw all 3 teams that lost that game number 1 be able to bounce back, get the job done in game number 2. Always speaks to me whenever you do see a little bit of a trend like that. And right now, what else has been a trend in baseball? And I mentioned it on the previous segment. We have seen some teams go cold, like I was mentioning it with the Giants. We just talked about the Mets being able to get the win in game number 2. But even with that, they've only won, I believe now, 4 out of their last 15 games. So, I mean, that's been a free fall. But some of these really bad teams have been able to rise up. And if you've been taking underdog prices on a few of these, they've been able to yield some fruit. We did not see that for the Miami Marlins here on Wednesday. They do fall to the Minnesota Twins by a count of 2-1. They had been riding. The Marlins had been a 7-game win streak, but still relatively solid performance. Jansen Junk, who got the start, well, he did not pitch like his last name. He was able to go out there. He only gave up 2 runs in his work, but he also did see a rock solid performance from the Pittsburgh Pirates. We recall what they were able to do over the weekend against the New York Mets, winning that series by a count of 30-4. They are able to take this series against the St. Louis Cardinals. They get the job done by a count of 5-0. And really, you're seeing some solid pitching with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Both the starting pitching and the bullpen. If you date it back to May 1st, the Pittsburgh Pirates have actually been a top 10 team in terms of bullpen ERA. The offense is starting to rise up. I don't know how long lasting it's going to be. This team is still averaging 3.5 runs per contest. That is a bottom 2 mark in the National League. And you have 3 guys on the roster that have north of 4 home runs. But what you're able to take from this is perhaps bet some unders on them moving forward, because they've already been able to the under in 2 of these games in the series, despite the fact that they were able to put up 5+ runs in those 2 games. You may recall on Monday, they were able to win by a count of 7-0 when Eric Fetty was on the bump. They win this game by a count of 5-0. So the unders in these Pittsburgh Pirates games might be something that you want to be taking a look at moving forward. And something else that you want to take a look at moving forward is getting signed up for these NFL contests. And over at Winner's Circle Proxy, they are one of the most most trusted proxy services that you're able to find out there, as one trip to lovely Las Vegas gets you signed up for all the great events that are happening in Las Vegas, all the contests that are happening for this upcoming football season. It is trusted by thousands of players, and it's been going for north of 9 years. Winner Circle Proxy helped clients win over $9.3 million over the last few seasons. Learn more about utilizing a trusted proxy service over at winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. That is winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And I do think that it's interesting to take a look at some of these yes-no playoff odds right now, because we do have ourselves a big, giant, jumbled-up mess, not just in the NL side of things, but on the AL side of things. But I do want to touch upon a little bit more of the National League side of things. Last segment, we took a little bit more of a look at the American League. If you missed that, VSIN.com/podcast. But the reason why I want to touch upon the National League is because while you don't have quite as many teams that are in it in the National League as you do on the American League side of things, I think it's just so strange how things have really flipped from the beginning part of the season. Like, I still remember on my podcast, Baseball Betting Show with Greg Peterson, you're able to subscribe wherever you hear podcasts, I was talking a lot about, wow, this NL West is tremendous. You might be able to get four teams in the NL West into the playoffs. Well, if the season ended right now, there is a two-way tango between the San Diego Padres and the St. Louis Cardinals for that final wild card spot, and that's the only team not named the LA Dodgers that would right now be in the playoffs out of the NL West. Right now, you've got the Giants one game back of that final wild card spot. The Diamondbacks are 2.5 games out, and whoever wins between the Giants and the Diamondbacks are going to put themselves in a little bit of better footing, but I mean, it has been interesting what we've seen with these NL West teams really struggling, especially the San Francisco Giants, with the way that their bullpen is so rock solid. They trade for Rafael Devers, and ever since they've traded for Rafael Devers, things have went downward. And I just feel like the Padres have not necessarily reached their full potential as well. Like, I love what the manager in Schilt is able to do for this bunch. I love the way that they maneuver that, but it does feel like they're going to need to go out there at the trade deadline and address some of those needs. Now, I will say, for the San Diego Padres, I actually feel good about them doing so, because I can tell you exactly what the San Diego Padres need. They need one more outfielder, because they were banking on Jason Hayward towards the beginning part of the season being like the number three outfielder for them. That just did not work out, and it's so bad that they had to DFA him, so that's not great. And when you're trusting in Elias Diaz at the catcher spot, that's not necessarily great either. The understudy for them as well, hitting below the middle sign of a 200. They just have no catching whatsoever in terms of this team. I guess Elias Diaz is a relatively solid defensive catcher, but he's giving you nothing at the plate, and that's actually been the issue for the San Diego Padres. Like, you just think even like 2 years ago, the San Diego Padres were one of the more fearsome lineups in all of baseball. And you think Manny Machado, you think Fernando Tatis Jr., you think Luis Reyes, and you think, all right, this is a pretty solid offense. Less than 4 runs per game being scored away from home. That is a bottom 8 mark in all of baseball. Like, the bullpen pitching has been great. They entered in the day here today in the top 6 in terms of their bullpen ERA, but man, they are going to need to find a little bit of offense. If they can address those needs, you've got great value moving forward on the San Diego Padres, though. You are going to be laying a number in terms of their yeso to be able to make the playoffs. If they don't address those needs, which I would be quite surprised if they do not, then you're looking at a little bit of a rough ordeal. And that's sort of where you're at in terms of baseball season right now, because that trade deadline, it is going to be coming up in about 4 or so weeks. Keep in mind, we're going to be getting a week off in the next 2 weeks for the All-Star break, but I mean, that's where a lot of these teams are at. What are they going to be able to acquire? What sort of standing are they going to be in about 3 to 4 weeks? I think that that's really something to gauge. And the Padres, I think, are one of the more fascinating teams in all of baseball. Something that is fascinating as well, the Thursday MLB card. Tanner Kern, he does absolutely tremendous work over at DraftKings. He's going to be deciphering it with me next, right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on Cashing Out, I'm VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line, as we've got Tanner Kern aboard. He does such great work over at DraftKings, taking a look at so many different things: football, basketball, baseball. Last week, he joined me to break down some UFC, so you name it, he does it. And Tanner, it's always great to get you aboard. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Always a pleasure.
Always appreciate you, Tanner. And we talked about this a little bit off air. So how about if we go from off air to on air with it? Just what are you seeing in terms of some of these struggling teams right now? Because it's been very befuddling what we've seen out of the two New York teams in the Mets and the Yankees. And all of a sudden, we're seeing some of these teams like the Miami Marlins and the Pittsburgh Pirates picking it up. And it feels like it's a little bit of a bizarre world right now in baseball.
Yeah, the New York Yankees, I mean, it looked like they had full control of the American League East, and the odds showed that. I believe they were minus 1,200 at one point to win the AL East, and they're still a decent favorite. You're getting them for a 2-1 favorite about right now, even though they're tied with the Blue Jays. But just what a run from Toronto, what a run from Tampa Bay to get back into this division. And then, you know, look at the New York Mets, another team that's struggling right now. They did get game two of their doubleheader, but they had a commanding lead in the NL East over the Philadelphia Phillies, and now that's a big race too. So, you know, we're seeing the New York team struggle right now, but again, this is going to happen over the course of the season. I do expect the New York Yankees to add at the deadline. The New York Mets, teams with a lot of money to spend that are struggling right now, will make adjustments and find a way to figure it out in the second half.
Yep, I do think that they are going to be able to do so as well. And how about if we do take a look at what we're going to be getting on the card for Thursday, as this is always something that calls my name. Whenever you're able to get a respectable price to fade the Colorado Rockies on the run line, and we currently have that, as with the Houston Astros, who are going to be taking on the Colorado Rockies, it is Brandon Walter going up against Kyle Freeland, and that run line price about minus 120 to minus 125 on the Astros. I don't know if you're playing what I'm playing, but I'm certainly going to be fading this Colorado Rockies team, and actually do like that 11.5 under as well.
Yeah, anytime you can get a really good price on the run line against the Rockies, you have to take it, especially in this spot. You're looking at the Houston Astros, who are a superior ball club. They're on the road. They're guaranteed the 9 at bats. They have the pitching advantage. This is a no-brainer for me. Brandon Walter's been good this season, 1-1, 3.34 ERA, whip right around 1 in just 29 innings of work. Kyle Freeland has struggled a lot, 1-9 with a 5.56 ERA and a 1.6 whip. When you look at the home splits, they're even worse than the road splits. 7-1 at home, which makes sense, obviously, because of the altitude. But then a 3.87 opponent batting average at home compared to a 2.80 opponent batting average on the road. So I expect Houston to absolutely dominate this game, find a way to score runs, and Freeland should be out of it pretty early if we go off his home numbers.
Yeah, with Kyle Freeland, I actually do think that he's doing for a little bit of positivity. If you look at that fielding independent, hasn't been giving up a ton of deep balls, but even if you do get that positivity for Kyle Freeland, I think that Walter is by far the better pitcher, and this is a Colorado Rockies team that has been very, very rocky at home, to say the least. So, right there with you, do think that the Astros get the job done on the run line, as Tanner Kern, who does such great work over at DraftKings, joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show, and I do think that this one is going to be a lot of fun, as well as we've got the Giants and the Diamondbacks. Rather pick'em game between Brandon Pfaadt along with Robbie Ray. The Giants are looking to climb out of what has been a massive swoon for them. Total on games 8.5. How do you view this Giants versus Diamondbacks game, with the Giants being another one of those teams that's really struggling right now?
Well, when you look at Brandon Pfaadt for the Arizona Diamondbacks, 8-5, 5.38 ERA, but the home ERA is right around 4, so he is a little better than the overall numbers show. Looking at Robbie Ray, has the 2.75 ERA with the 1.15 whip. Splits on the road, he's been slightly worse, but still a sub-3 ERA and a 1.87 opponent batting average as a visitor. So I expect Robbie Ray to shove. Thing with the Giants is the offense has not been consistent so far this season. You know, yeah, Devers, he has not delivered by any means. Had a home run against the Boston Red Sox, but other than that, hasn't done a lot of notable things for San Francisco. But because of the starting pitching matchup here, I do really like the San Francisco Giants. They're 20-24 on the road, which isn't great, but the Arizona Diamondbacks are just a 500 team at home here. And with that starting pitching advantage and the really good price on San Francisco, I will be taking them as the road team here.
Yep, I do think that that's a solid look with Robbie Ray. He has been doing a really good job on the road, and Brandon Pfaadt, he had that start a few weeks ago where you have a no-hitter in Major League Baseball. That was a no-outer. He literally gave up 8 runs and did not get an out. So that was rough, to say the least. Has been better ever since then, but there's no place to go but up from there. And, well, for the LA Dodgers, it's been a little bit of a downer thus far tonight for them, as they're currently losing to the Chicago White Sox, as Clayton Kershaw looks a little bit washed. This guy is a little bit younger. Dustin May is going to be going for the Dodgers against Aaron Civale and the White Sox. Total is 9, and Dodgers Mondo favorites of about -280, 290 once again. How do you take a look at this game with it being so heavily juiced to the Dodgers?
Yeah, I'm going to be looking at the first half over in this game. I think that's the best way to really take a look at it, because you take Dustin May. Has not been fantastic this season by any means. 4-5, 4.68 ERA, 1.37 whip. I do think he's going to give up a couple runs early on, especially if you go off what the White Sox did tonight so far in the game. They have put up some runs. So if they can bring that energy and momentum into tomorrow, I think they have a really good chance. Looking at Aaron Civale, 1-4 with a 4.74 ERA, 1.5 whip. You know, doesn't have massive strikeout numbers either. I do think the Dodgers offense is good enough to get to him early in this game. So the Dodgers should be in for a bounce back. You know, we don't know how the game tonight's going to finish up, but they should be in for an offensive bounce back. And if the White Sox can bring a little bit of, you know, offensive momentum from what they did tonight, I do think they have a chance to get to Dustin May early. So we're seeing the first half total here. It's going to be at 5.5. Definitely worth playing, in my opinion.
And then we were talking about struggling teams. Look no further than the New York Yankees. To their credit, they did get down 8 runs and they came back, but also to their detriment, they came all the way back from down 8 runs just to not win the game altogether. And right now it's Clark Schmidt going for the New York Yankees. It's about a minus 120, minus 125 or so favorite. In most places, you're seeing a total of 9, as Chris Bassett had a nice start to the season, and it's not been so nice recently. How do you take a look at this one with a guy in Schmidt who's actually been quite solid this year for the Yankees?
When you look at the Blue Jays, their home record at 28-16 has been fantastic. I mean, they've been able to pick up games at home here, and they've done it in the series against the New York Yankees. But when I'm looking at the Yankees right now, this is the game you have to win. You've been spiraling. The division is nearly out of control, right? You're tied with the Blue Jays and the Rays. Now you have a chance to reassert yourself, leave the series with at least something to hang your hat on, say we picked up a game. And I do think they're going to find a way to do it. You know, heartbreaking loss tonight, but in the end of the day, you can't go down by what they went down by early. So I think Clark Schmidt's going to be good enough to limit Toronto in this one, 4-4 with the ERA right around 3 and the 1.06 whip. Chris Bassett, as you were saying, he's been spiraling a little bit here. When you're the New York Yankees, though, they do have the experience. They have the veteran leadership in Judge. They have a bunch of other guys who can't hit the baseball. They have to step up in this one. But this is the game where we find out what New York's made of. I know it's early in the season, but this is the game that you have to leave Toronto with a victory just to take back control of the division and at least have something to look up to heading into the final, you know, week of baseball before we go to the All-Star break.
Yep, I think that that is a solid look there with the way that Clark Schmidt has made a roll. And for Chris Bassett, had himself a really nice start to the season. Man, things have not been good for him, to say the least, recently. And I want to get your thoughts on this team, because we did talk about a few teams that are struggling, the San Francisco Giants certainly being one of them, the New York Yankees being another, but we've had some unexpected surprise runs. This one did come to an end on Wednesday, but they're going to be looking to bounce back on Thursday. It's the Miami Marlins playing host the Minnesota Twins. Very early day game. This starts at 12:10 p.m. Eastern time, with right now Eury Pérez against David Festa, and the Twins right in the neighborhood, about a minus 110. Any sort of a lean here with the Miami Marlins team that they have not been good this year, to say the least, but they've gotten warmer as of late?
Yeah, I mean, you know, two inconsistent offenses. I'd probably take a look at the over in this game, being at 8.5. You know, Eury Pérez has not been great so far, only thrown 60 innings. Same thing with David Festa, only 36 innings on the mound so far this season. Both guys have high whips, both bullpens, you know, can be out of control at times. You know, I do like the Marlins for a home price of, you know, just plus 100 right now, too, especially with how they've been playing. 4-1 in their past 5 games, so really rolling and having some momentum. So I take a look from the Miami Marlins perspective as the home underdog. Also take a look at the over. But when you look at these two teams, you know, two really inconsistent overall products that we've gotten so far this year, so it's hard to pick a side and have any confidence in it. But Miami, with the home underdog value, with how they've been playing, that would be the side that I lean towards if I had to make a bet.
Yep, and it has been rough for the Minnesota Twins, to say the least. This bullpen was really good in like the first month and a half, 2 months of the season, and ever since then it has gone down the toilet bowl for them. And for Mr. Festa, has been a less than tremendous start to the season for him, but a man that is always starting and finishing every season strong, a man that breaks down a little bit of everything, is you, Tanner. I always do appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Thank you to Tanner for joining me right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And do I have to alert you of something here? Because right now with the LA Dodgers, they are down by a count of 4-2. Max Muncy was trying to get a tag. There was someone that was stealing from second to third. there is a bit of a slide, and Max Muncy is right now down, so we're going to need to inform you guys on the break, and it looked like a pretty bad spill, so yeah, that's not necessarily great. He went for the tag, the person's helmet was in his way, and pretty much his head was in the way, so Max Muncy currently down on the field. We'll see if we can get you guys an update on that on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. To tie a bow around what I was talking about in the last segment, Max Muncy had to come out of the game for the LA Dodgers because he was limping around, and it didn't really look like he was putting any weight on that leg that was slid into, so that's not great. You have to figure that he's probably going to be out of the lineup for Thursday, and the question becomes after Thursday, when are we going to be seeing him once again? But we are probably not going to be seeing Clayton Kershaw back for the seventh inning in this game, as he does get 3,000. Probably a little bit of the beneficiary of a cull, I'm not going to lie to you. Clayton Kershaw, he is able to get that 3,000th strikeout as he's able to get to three strikeouts. Was looking rough for him early on in this game. He did give up a three spot in the third inning, and I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to make it six full innings, but right now they are giving him a video tribute over there at Chavez Ravine, and the Dodgers are currently trailing by a count of 4-2, so that's a little bit less than savory, but Clayton Kershaw, he does get strikeout number 3,000, and the specific man that he was striking out was Vinny Capra, who started out the year with the Milwaukee Brewers. He was strikeout victim number 3,000. Hopefully they give him some sort of a charming fruit basket for being the 3,000th victim of Clayton Kershaw. I always wonder how that works, by the way. Like, when you're the guy that gives up, like, Barry Bonds' 71st home run way back in the day in 2001, when you're the guy that gave up, like, Mark McGwire's record-breaking home run, in this case, he gets struck out by Clayton Kershaw for strikeout 3,000, are they just like, congratulations, here's your booby prize, or something like that? I'm always curious on that, so hopefully Vinny Capra gets something for his troubles. Signed baseball, signed jersey, something like that, but certainly something else that we need to sign ourselves up for is some great baseball. And if you're looking at these late Wednesday games, we still have a few that are raging on. I have a lot of underwhelming action right now is for the Royals and the Mariners. This game is 1-1 in the bottom of the seventh inning, and Mariners do have men on first and second with no outs. They've had a lot of opportunities to score. They stranded the bases loaded in the fifth inning, so we'll see if they're able to bust through here. The Giants are looking to bust through because they have lost 7 out of their last 8 games. It actually might be 8 out of their last 9 games. They're currently up 3-2 on the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's in the top of the 8th inning as well, so we're going to be keeping ourselves abreast of that. And for the Houston Astros, I should say, they do indeed cover that run line against the Colorado Rockies. 5-3, the final in that one. You had 26 hits and 8 runs. So, yeah, quite a few men stranded on base. And I'll double check to make sure that I get you guys the exact total. 18 men stranded on base. And for the Astros, they scored 5 runs while going 5-9 with men in scoring position with 11 men stranded on base. You don't see that very often, to say the least. So, very much a lot of station-to-station baseball and a lot of small ball. So we have a lot of fun that's going to be going down there. I know that we were talking about the game for Thursday with Tanner Kern on the flip side, but how about if we do talk about that game once again here? Because with the Astros and Colorado Rockies game, I think that there is a ton of value on this one. This is 9-11, 9-12 for the game for Thursday, as Brandon Walter is going to be on the bump for Houston. Kyle Freeland goes for Colorado, and this total is 11.5 with the money line of Houston. You're going to be finding that in the neighborhood about a minus 170, minus 180, and between plus 150 to plus 160 is that number on the Colorado Rockies. And for Kyle Freeland, he actually should be doing for a little bit of positivity. His ERA is hovering right around about a 5.5. The fielding independent is a 3.80. And that's something that I do look at this time of year. When these guys have fielding independents that are just so vastly different from their ERAs, typically there should be a little bit of positivity for them. Not always. We have seen a few examples. Like, I remember a few years ago, Kevin Gausman, Pablo Lopez, two very prime examples of this. I mean, these were guys that they just had very much warped numbers. And when you do have a sinker ball pitcher like Brian Bayo of the Boston Red Sox is a prime example, typically their ERA might be a little bit different from their fielding independent because they do get so many ground ball double play outs. And that's something that the fielding independent doesn't necessarily take into account. But I do think that that is something that you want to be taking note of here. And for Brandon Walter, he's been really good with his command. He has pitched 28-plus innings this far this season for the Astros. Sub-340 ERA. He's given up a little bit of the deep ball, but he's also been limiting the walks. Two walks allowed thus far in his starts. That is a 0.6 walks per nine inning rate. So he's been on point there. And this is a Houston Astros team that's left a little bit of something to be desired at the plate. You've got Jeremy Pena, who's hitting well north of 300 with a double finger round of homers, currently on the injured list. Now, Isaac Paredes has been great. 16-plus home runs thus far this season. He's been able to give you about a 350 or so on base. Jose Altuve, after a rough start to the season, he's been pretty solid as well, but for the Astros, you could use a little bit more out of Yainer Diaz along Christian Walker. To the credit of both of these guys, providing power. Both of these guys have been able to give you a double-figure amount of homers. To the detriment of those guys, both are giving you a sub-290 on base. And for the Houston Astros, this has also been a very sturdy and rock-solid bullpen. How about them being in the top four in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA? Now, you did have to use up Bennett Sosa, Steven Okert, and also Caleb Ort in this game here tonight. All three guys do have a sub-3 ERA, other than Okert, who has just seen things absolutely spiral out of control for him. But I mean, that means that Josh Hader is going to be available in this game. That means if you need to go to them, the Bryans, Brian King, Brian Rayu, who both have been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA, they're going to be available as well. And then for the Colorado Rockies, a saving grace for this team has been the fact that the bullpen has not been awful. You've got Victor Vodnik, who was not used in this game. Jimmy Herkett has been pretty rock solid. They did use Jake Bird, but only for 6 pitches, and he's got a sub-3 ERA, but for this Colorado Rockies team, man, it has been a rocky offense. Hunter Goodman has been able to give you 16 home runs. He has been very good for the team, and Mickey Moniak is all of a sudden finding it. He's been able to give you 12 bombs as well. And this is a Colorado Rockies team that, as you can expect, their home and road splits very, very different. And that is something that you want to be noting this time of year as well. There are some teams where their home and road splits, they are probably going to be ironing out. And there are some teams where they're not going to be. And I'll touch upon that a little bit more in a minute because there are some very, very clear examples of this. But with the Colorado Rockies, when you play at elevation, you sort of know what you're getting out of them. And for the Colorado Rockies this far this season, they're currently dead last in the big leagues in terms of their overall on-base percentage. But 267 on base away from home, 313 on base at home. So that's a difference of north of 45 points right there. So always have to take that into account. That said, I do think that for the Astros, they do a nice job locking things down. Circumstance where I'm going to be in on that total under. And I do like the run line of the Houston Astros as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And that is something that now that we're at the halfway point of the MLB season, you want to be taking a look at. There are some of these teams that are just having wackadoo splits in terms of their home and road splits, things that you would not expect. Like, I'm going to talk about this with the Milwaukee Brewers, and I've pointed this out before, and I think that's very much worth pointing out once again. The Milwaukee Brewers had their double dip tonight against the New York Mets, and coming out of it, they're averaging about 5.6 runs per game away from home. That is number one in all of baseball. Guess how many runs they're averaging at home? Fewer than 3.9 runs per game. And I can tell you, American Family Field is not necessarily the most pitcher-friendly ballpark in the world. Not to say that it's like some sort of a hitter's haven or anything like that, but if you were to look at ballpark factors, it's about leg average. Like, if you were to design 30 ballparks all the same and try to have it be about as neutral, like, out of the 30 ballparks right now, as close to 15 as possible in terms of helping pitchers versus helping hitters, you'd probably pick something like American Family Field. And yet they're averaging about 1.7 runs per game more on the road rather than at home. That's something that should be ironing out. Now, the question is, when is regression going to be happening? And that's always something that you want to decipher, because when it comes to regression, it's always well and good, but I mean, is regression going to be coming against the Colorado Rockies, for example? Maybe not. Like, if you're the Milwaukee Brewers and you have to face off against Zach Wheeler the next day on the road, yeah, you might be experiencing that regression a little bit more than if you're going up against Antonio Senzatella. Like, it does always need to be situational. Just because a team like the Milwaukee Brewers might be doing for a little bit of regression with their road offense, and I firmly believe that they are overdue right now for regression with regards to road offense, it doesn't mean that it's going to be coming the next day. And you can't just be like, oh, I'm expecting regression. I don't care about the matchup. I don't care about the righty-lefty splits or anything like that. But that is always something that you do want to be mindful of. So I do think that that's very important to be doing, but also making sure that you're not losing sight of the situation itself. And then you've got a few other teams where it's very interesting as to what they're doing. Like right now for the bunch that has been really racking up the runs at home this far this season in the Toronto Blue Jays, about 5.2 runs per game at home, closer to about 3.7 runs per game away from home. That's a split that I think is going to iron out a little bit. Now, Toronto redid their ballpark dimensions a few years ago. It really didn't do them a lot of good in the first few years. I thought it was going to yield a little bit more offense for them with regards to those dimensions, but it really didn't. I do think that it's somewhere between A and B. Like if you go back to last season, for the Toronto Blue Jays, they actually average more runs per game away from home rather than at home. I don't believe that they're as bad as the 3.74 runs per game that they're averaging away from home. Also don't think that they're as good as averaging 5.2 runs per game at home, but I think that you could see like a half a run difference when it's all said and done. So I do think that taking a look at some of these differences, taking a look at some of these outliers like I just laid out with the Milwaukee Brewers, is going to be able to yield you some good value here in the second half of the baseball season. And hopefully we can yield you some value with regards to the Thursday card in baseball. And also we need to take a look at the NBA because the news never stops there. And we're going to mention it next right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.